What is up, business owners, entrepreneurs, and probably my grandma? This is Business Vibe. Today's business interview is with Nicholas Krall, a fractional CFO. He shares the steps it took to become a fractional CFO. He shares what many companies are doing wrong with their finances. He also tells us what marketing channels have worked best for him. Enjoy the interview.
I appreciate you meeting with me, taking time to do an interview.
Yeah, it's nice actually getting reached out to randomly from Reddit, actually having something positive to come from it, not just, you know, most of the time it's screwing around and sharing memes.
I know, right? The last person I was talking to, also the interview came from Reddit, and it was like the vibe on Reddit, because it's, you know, got that anonymity or whatever. It's just sometimes.
Yeah, well, I'm sure if you pull people off of there, you're like, oh, is this guy serious? And you start talking.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I know, right? It's kind of random to get a DM like this on Reddit.
Yeah. Like, can I interview him? Like, is this real?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's going to be some like 16-year-old kid who's like, I'm getting into podcasting. I'm like, no, you're not.
Can you share a little bit about your background and what led you to become a fractional CFO?
Well, probably initially I started with my dad was a small business owner. I grew up, you know, he was a mechanic, and I grew up, you know, changing tires and changing oil and things like that. And I grew up around a guy struggling to figure it out. He'd sit there on set Sunday nights and a stack of paper receipts and going through it with an old adding machine, basically, you know, the old Casio calculators with the print tape. And he didn't know what he was doing, but he asked enough questions of his accountant and he walked him through how to do bookkeeping. And before you knew it, because I was decent at math as a kid, I was doing the bookkeeping. So at 16, I was doing the family's bookkeeping. And then I went to school in my undergrad. I was in accounting. I realized I didn't really want to be an accountant. I thought it'd be really not a great job to sit in front of a computer all day and grind numbers. And then lo and behold, long circle, I went to graduate school. I got my MBA in finance and entrepreneurship. So I knew I always wanted to work for myself in some capacity. And then realized when my wife started her law firm that she needed my help. And I realized I really liked it. And started offering help to other people just through kind of referrals and word of mouth. And it's a lot of fun helping a small business owner because so many people are scared of their finances and scared of math. And, you know, don't even know, you know, the idea of something simple like bookkeeping, which seems simple to me. And some people can handle it and other people absolutely have no interest in it at all. And then the big one is I free up time for people, because if you're an attorney or you're a dentist, you're going to work all day long and then you want to go home and do your books? No, of course not. And then especially for attorneys and some of the real estate brokers I work with, you know, trust accounting, you have to be really careful because it's not your money.
That actually answers my next question kind of about, like, you know, what attracted you to
that. Yeah, the fractional is definitely just because I, you know, it was a small business background. And, you know, realistically, if I was to be a salaried person, what small businesses could afford me? I mean, to have somebody who, you know, making $200,000 a year plus is really difficult to shoulder for any company sub, you know, $50 million or $10 million. And you really want to pay for that when, you know, I can outsource a couple hours here and a couple hours there, because most people don't need a full-time person. You know, you need a bookkeeper, you know, a couple hours a week. You know, if you're a bigger company, you need a little more help. You need controllers, you need audits, things like that. And then when you get to actually needing a CFO where it's, you know, you're starting to put money in Google ad spend and what's my ROI on this? And should I be continuing this campaign? What's my cost per lead? Most people don't think they have to know these things, but it makes all the difference in the world versus just throwing stuff against the wall, which is how I feel like most people run their business.
What are your typical responsibilities for what you do for a company?
Some, it's simple. You know, I have one client that's a real estate broker. They just want their bookkeeping done and quarterly P&Ls. Super simple, straightforward. You know, anybody could do it in QuickBooks, I feel like, but he has no interest in it whatsoever. He just wants to get a report. And then he, at the end of the year, he takes his reports, gives them to his tax guy, his forms get filled out, his life is easy. That's all he wants, you know, ranging all the way up to, I have another client that doesn't even want to look at her bank account. And, you know, they're trying to figure out how many ways they can put some money away for retirement because they didn't know all these options are available to them and they don't want to look at it. They don't want to think about it. They want a done for you complete system. Yeah. So, you know, it can, and everything in between, depending on exactly what people are looking for.
So you mentioned that you sometimes work just a couple hours a week for a particular company. How many companies do you work for? Can you handle at one time?
I probably will get maxed out, maybe around 20. I'm still growing. I'm transitioning away from a different consulting gig, and this is becoming a more full-time operation just because it is absolutely growing. It was a side gig forever. And then the other consulting is just boring now. I don't want to do it more. So this is becoming my full time pretty quickly. Definitely I handle about 20, and then I have an outsourced bookkeeper I can do to probably handle a little bit more.
Something that's really interested me when I started researching for this was, how do you market for How would you market yourself?
So word of mouth, obviously, everyone loves referrals. You're the cheapest lead that you can get. Other than that, a lot of our actually outreach is through LinkedIn. I have a service that does direct targeted advertising on LinkedIn. And luckily, it's a done-for-you service because I don't know the first thing about it. And then I'm going to also use pay-per-click advertising in the next couple of months once this starts actually moving a little bit faster. But you can't onboard too many people at a time because there's usually so much work you have to clean up before you can really get them on autopilot.
Do you mind sharing the service you use for the LinkedIn?
It's Bright Idea Marketing.
So do they automate the thing or do you might not even.
I know. So they rebuilt my LinkedIn because like most people, I don't really use it like I could and should. And then he rebranded it for me and they're doing direct outreach where they're targeting specific industries and certain size of business that might need my services. And they're doing the direct outreach for them and they're going to book through Calendly type system to fill up, warm prospects.
Do you mind talking about revenue on how much you in particular make as a fractional CFO?
So I can give you on a per client basis, probably. Prices are on my website. It's not like it's anything secret. Bookkeepers, just doing simple bookkeeping, like for the one client, that's a real estate broker, it's, $500 a month. He just wants a, quick, simple reports. And at the end of the year, he pays a little bit of a extra because he wants to do some reorganization for tax planning. He's $2,000 a year, maybe at most. And then all the way up to my full on, CFO services for other firms are, $4,000 a month, $4,000 to $5,000 a month.
And so kind of transitioning into what else you can do for a company. Do you have to create kind of like a financial strategy for them or is it pretty cut and dry with every single company you work for?
They're all different because the biggest difference you're going to see, let's say you're selling, if for anything, you're selling trinkets at a store. The idea of when you buy the trinkets and they arrive at your shop, but to when they actually sell and you collect the cash, that thing like a sales cycle can make cash management a huge concern. Or for things like attorneys where you're putting out the marketing dollars today, but the case might not be finished for months down the road. There could be a 6-month lag between retaining a client and actually getting paid versus, a lot of other services you get paid and the cash clears as soon as the credit card closes that night. So, cash management is definitely a huge concern for a lot of businesses, but that's probably the biggest as far as like strategy is concerned. Other than that, regular bookkeeping and P&Ls, everybody needs those, but it's kind of understanding, what is your ROI on your ad spends? What is your ROI on, or what is your totally loaded cost for employees? Because most people don't think about it, but you pay someone $40 an hour. Well, it doesn't cost you $40 an hour. It probably costs you $60 an hour. And things like that, just to make sure their profitability numbers are actually in line and they're not accidentally losing money by hiring people. The range is all over the place in what people need and I can help however they need it.
So that kind of gets into my next question is like, so that's probably some of the financial challenges that you come up with that some of the questions they don't even know what to ask.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you're a solo operator, do you have a retirement account? What kind is it? How much are you putting away? Did you know how much you can put away? And most people have no idea.
Do you help people like with come up with plans and for like economic uncertainty?
Yes, depending on what they're in. For some of my clients, like the real estate brokers, they know that there's probably some rough waters ahead. Keep some cash on hand. I mean, even Dave Ramsey, they keep 6 months of savings account. Most people don't realize it, but pretty much every business is 3 months from bankruptcy. It's just how they operate. And you don't think about it. Companies doing $1 million plus a year, they don't have 300 grand in the bank. You have a $2 to $3 million a year revenue business that's got 100 grand. Everyone's around the corner because you end up spending as much money and reinvesting in your company. If the money's sitting there, it's not doing anything. So then it becomes a matter of, how do you plan for that? Well, depending on what it is, if 2008 happens again, pretty sure my real estate broker friend is going to be in trouble. Like I said, my wife's a criminal defense attorney. People are still going to be getting in trouble in bad times. So depending on the market, it's a little bit more variability. Generally, there's some things actually during the recession, during the last, the COVID crash, I should say, when, there were PPP loans that came out so people could keep people hired. Sometimes that kind of stuff happens. I really doubt we're going to see like that again. But you can only plan so much because there's just not enough cash typically for most of these small businesses.
And then you mentioned this kind of at the beginning of our talk, you're saving most of these companies quite a significant amount of cash. What other are the main benefits of like hiring a CFO for like small to mid-sized businesses?
So most small, like you said, they don't even know the questions to ask a lot of times. They don't know what should I be thinking about. The idea of keeping some cash in the bank is obviously a simple one. But if you're going to do a Google Ads campaign or you're going to do an Instagram ad campaign, what is it worth to me? How much can I invest? What am I getting as my ROI? You know, I have one client that, you know, put a bunch of money into an ad campaign, started getting a bunch of revenue in the door. And then once they realized their employees were doing the work, at the end of the day, they spent a bunch of money, paid their employees, and they didn't, there's some money left at for them because they didn't price their services properly for the after the advertising got, you know, Google got paid or Facebook gets paid, and then their employees get paid. And then at the end of the day, there was nothing there, just a bunch of work for them and admin and overhead and headache. You know, they had to completely reprice their services after they realized that. And think about how much headache and heartache that saved them.
I can see and think of so many businesses that could just use that service in general.
When I started working with some other kind of outsource with things I don't know, like CTO services, they're like, well, this is what I make per hour. And I'm like, that's not how much you charge, man. You can't charge just an hourly rate. That's like what you make at a day job. That's not how this business works. You got to charge a lot more than you realize. Sorry, I know I'm going on a tangent. I'm a little rambly. Hopefully this chopped into YouTube shorts. It might be useful.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the insights are incredible. You get a client or how do you demonstrate value to your clients? How do you kind of get them on that hook?
Well, I mean, luckily they probably know they need help before they come to me, because most, especially, you know, professionals that offer a service, if you're a dentist, you can be the best dentist in the world. And then they sit down there, go, okay, here's an Excel document. What am I looking at? Or here's my bank statements. I think I made money because there's still cash in the bank. That's a good thing, right? Probably, but they just don't know. And there's nothing, you know, you don't know what you don't know. I can't fix teeth, but they can't do their books. And then if you run a business, I mean, you probably know. At the end of the day, you're like, hey, there's money in the bank. That's a good thing. It is. Did you think about all these other things, though? And all the things that come along with it, just because that's not what most people do. I happen to not only learn how to do it, but actually enjoy it, which most people get shocked when they hear that. But I like to go through bank statements and reconciliations and all kinds of other boring things to most people.
And that really segues to my next question too, is like, what mistakes do you see most companies make? And so you've covered that, like they don't know what they don't know and kind of like that.
Or they're spending too much time. I mean, if you're a dentist or a doctor or a lawyer and you're sitting there taking off Friday afternoons to do your bookkeeping, or you can be seeing patients. And I'm
Yeah.
going to do it in half as much time. It's really not worth it. Or if you're going to be sitting on Saturday mornings doing your books, or you're going to be doing your own QuickBooks at the end of the day and there's a mistake and you don't know how to fix it, or you didn't even know you made a mistake, it can cost you. I mean, then you get your tax bill at the end of the year too, which everybody always forgets about when they're working for themselves. You know, a lot of them, you don't know it because this isn't what you were trained to do.
So kind of moving toward like your own personal insights as an entrepreneur, what do you enjoy most about being a fractional CFO?
Sometimes I get to sleep in. I work for myself. I live work at home. Last week, I cut out randomly on a Thursday morning. I was like, I'm going to go surfing. And
Nice.
because I control my own schedule, I can just block off time. And, you know, there's as long as I stay busy enough, I make plenty of money to live the life I want to live. And, cut out early and go pick up my kids from school randomly. Or, you know, my kids are actually home from school this week and it's not a big deal. They're in the other room hanging out. And can't beat working for yourself for that reason. I don't have an office. I don't have a boss. I mean, my boss is my clients, but they're all happy. So everybody wins.
Coming kind of toward the end of the interview, what skills are essential for this role? Like you said, you went to schooling for this.
Yeah, so I did have my undergrad was in accounting, and then graduate school was finance and entrepreneurship. Is that required? Not really. I mean, for some of the skills that people need, you know, simple bookkeeping, you can take a bookkeeping course and learn how to do this. Or, you know, community college accounting is probably enough to help a lot of small businesses as far as scaling up. You know, here's how to be a CFO class you can take. You have to learn by doing, and you work with enough entrepreneurs, and all of a sudden you realize, I've seen this before. I've done this before. And you watch someone else make a mistake, and you can hopefully not have them make it again. And, you know, I've gone through the bumps myself. And then my wife being an entrepreneur as well, we've made a lot of mistakes in her business too. So I got to ride along as someone built a professional consulting business. And it's definitely, you know, mistakes I don't want to make again, but I can hopefully help people avoid making the same mistakes or making the same mistakes again sometimes.
What advice would you give to someone who is considering a career or wants to be a fractional CFO?
Do you really want to be an accountant? But no, really, if this is something you enjoy doing where you think you can, if you can offer a service that people want, it's no different. It's professional consulting is the same. If it's like your friend who wants to be the CTO or being a CFO or a marketing, you know, most small businesses don't know how to run a Google Ads campaign. I know I don't. So I pay for professionals. I don't know how to do it. It's just like any other service you want to offer. If it's something you liked to do and something that people want to pay for, just get your name out there and people start calling you. I mean, if this is something people are considering doing, you know, find a service, find something you like to do and do it is such a silly adage to to say. And then I kind of started doing it and realized, oh, but those people who all say that kind of stuff, it's true. You know, find something somebody wants to pay for and do it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think a lot of people, especially like when you read on the internet, or Reddit in particular, overthink.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's the same reason I didn't cut my own grass when I had a lawn last time. I didn't want to do it, but somebody didn't mind doing it. It's any service you can think of, you know?
Well, hey, awesome, dude. I appreciate you taking time, and this has been really interesting. I think people will really love the insights.